This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, what's going on, everybody? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the podcast and another month of the podcast. Really excited for you to be here. In case you're new, I'm answering your jazz questions 5 days a week to help you have more fun than ever, play music, and fast track your journey to jazz success. All right, we have a really great question today. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, Brent. My name is Jeff. You're a terrific teacher, and I've learned a lot from you. I play piano. Do you have any exercises or suggestions on how to improve rhythm, and in particular, how to keep the left hand steady while playing syncopated rhythms in the right hand? Thank you.
That is a great question, Jeff. Thank you for asking it. Yes, indeed, I do have some ideas for you to go ahead and start implementing and practicing for you. So we'll go into those in a second. Let's just talk really quickly, though, generally, when we're trying to improve our rhythm and syncopation. Like, how do we go about doing that? Well, it really comes down to fundamentals, right? Like, if we have a scale, right? Now, what I just played there was quarter notes, right? And so to understand the basics of rhythm, we have to, of course, understand subdivisions. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? That's whole notes. Half notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we have quarter notes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we have eighth notes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And of course, we have eighth note triplets. Triplet, 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 triplet. Right? So triplets. Okay, so those are the basic subdivisions that I would usually think about. And so, of course, being able to play those with a metronome is, you know, important, right? Just for the basics of rhythm and understanding syncopation and all that stuff, you need to have your subdivisions down. And so, of course, you can go further than with a metronome and do a lot of things with that, such as, you know, the metronome's clicking on, you know, the quarter notes, like to the metronome's clicking on beats 1 and 3. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and then the 2 and 4. So 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Different things like this so that you're kind of feeling the beat in different ways, but still doing different syncopations, right? So those are all things to think about. Now, in the context of Jeff's question, we're talking a lot about, you know, comping and that sense of rhythm and sort of this dexterity, I would also call it, is part of it. And different instruments have similar challenges to this. So even if you're not a piano player or a guitar player comping instrument, this stuff still applies. So the first thing that I would do if I were Jeff is in the left hand, I would come up with, again, very simple and basic rhythmic pattern. So let's just say I pick a chord, let's call it B7 today, and I'm just going to do quarter notes. Right. And that's my comping pattern. Right. I'm just using one chord as to not complicate things. But I might start with a very simple melodic device again. Like, so perhaps this is a B flat Mixolydian scale to go along with the chord. Of course, you can play it, you know, up the octave, you know. You know, using quarter notes, for example, to start with, while you're playing the quarter note comping pattern in the background, with your right hand, you're playing that B-flat Mixolydian scale quarter notes. Then you can play the B-flat Mixolydian scale in eighth notes. Then you could switch it up a bit, maybe bring it down to half notes, then maybe go to eighth note triplets, right? So we're using very simple devices here, a very simple chord, a very simple rhythmic pattern for comping, and a very simple melodic device for our right hand so that we can get used to this dexterity, the rhythm and the syncopation required to be able to start doing this, right? To get that independence going, right? Then you, of course, like, what do you do next? Well, you could switch up the comping pattern. So maybe we'll do the Charleston, right? And you're doing the same thing. You could be playing the B-flat Mixolydian scale. If you want, you could start improvising, but use those very simple subdivisions like eighth notes and quarter notes and things like this. But now you're using a different structure in your left hand to provide that difference between what your left and your right is doing, right? And there's so many other things, like we could do bossa nova, but over a chord progression. So, all right, so maybe that's your comping pattern. Now, that was in the key of concert E flat major. So again, if we're trying not to add too much to our plate here and we're just focusing here on rhythm and the ability to have one rhythm going in your left and in your right, we might just choose, again, like an E flat major scale or something like that. Very simple, using those different subdivisions. And then as we kind of get used to playing those basic things, those basic kinds of exercises, then we can start branching out to, yes, keeping a steady rhythmic pulse in our left hand, in our comping hand, but then being more free to play different things in our right hand, right? Now, we could do this through improvising, but we can also just do it from a lick that you've learned, right? Maybe a lick over top of this 2-5-1. Right? So maybe it's, here's my pet Jim Hall lick for you, right? So maybe that's the preset memorized lick. It's not improvised, but you've memorized that lick and you're just practicing that pattern in your left hand and that lick in your right hand, right? So now you're doing a much more complicated rhythmic structure. There's rests in that lick. There's eighth notes. There's ending on the end of one, right? So there's different things going on rhythmically there. And now you're starting to develop this in another way, even before you start thinking about just pure improvisation and improvising jazz lines, right? So this is how we can do this. And I think this is a great thing for all instruments to do. Like, you don't have to be a piano player or a guitar player. Again, you could be a saxophone player, triple player, bass player, whatever. If you can get some kind of rhythmic structure going for you in the background, this is where you can start experimenting with that, right? Like let's play only on the ands of four. Let's play only on the ands of two. These sorts of things get you used to feeling beats differently over top of a given rhythmic structure behind you, and ultimately is going to help you feel the time better and create more interesting ideas using rhythm. All right, so that's all for today's episode. Thank you so much. If you found this episode helpful, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I really do appreciate that. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. And remember that a lot of practice time isn't near as good as just a little bit of really good practice time. So again, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll see you for another great episode tomorrow. Cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.